Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood with John Paul Basham and Mary Margaret.
Hello.
We're super excited for another episode with you, amazing student pastors and youth workers all over the country and beyond. Thank you for choosing to listen to this podcast. We know you have a lot of podcasts that you could choose. So thanks for choosing this one. It is an honor to spend this time with you every single week. If you haven't taken the time to go leave a rating and review on iTunes, we would really appreciate you doing that. It takes just a few seconds and it helps other student ministry leaders find the podcast as well. And while you're there, hit that subscribe button.
Hit it.
And you can have the podcast delivered straight to your email inbox and to your phone as a download and wherever you choose to have the subscription delivered to.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Right in your ears.
Yes, we would love to do that for you. So, on with the topic of today. Some of you may have noticed that there has been now for a few months another voice on the Lifeway Student Ministry podcast. Mm. The voice of Mary Margaret.
That's me.
So Mary Margaret has joined our team recently. If you missed the introduction episode, that was a few months ago. I don't even remember now.
Back in the fall sometime.
Was it?
I think so.
So like 6 months ago?
Something like that. Yeah. It's been a while.
So we introduced Mary Margaret back then as our girls ministry leader. So she is in charge of all things girls ministry here on the Lifeway student team. And we're super excited that she's a part of the team. And another voice on the podcast. And I've heard from several listeners to the podcast that they have really enjoyed having a female voice and perspective on the podcast.
That's
so this
awesome.
Is awesome.
Yeah. I love it.
So thanks for being on the team.
Absolutely.
And for being in the studio. And today we want to focus in specifically on girls ministry because it really is an important part of your student ministry. It's something that you should put a lot of thought into, a lot of strategy into. It should not be one of these things that just kind of exists over here as a couple of events every now and then, but that there is a real strategic, important moment that student ministries are missing if they don't have this. And so let's say at the beginning, you don't have to have a full-time paid staff person focusing on this element of your ministry in order to succeed with it.
Correct.
So I think that's a great point to make right at the beginning because the first thing people will do is, oh, I can't afford that staff position. Because we are seeing a lot more churches invest in that as a staff position as the years have gone on. I would say it's still a relatively new idea for a lot of churches, but the number is growing. But you don't have to have that.
Nope.
So let's kind of start there. And Mary Margaret, why don't you just define for us, like throughout the episode, as we say girls ministry, what does that mean to you? And what's a definition that the audience can kind of grab onto?
Yeah, I think just to break it down really simply, it is ministry to and with teenage girls. And the goal, you know, through the church is to point them to Christ. And so it's really just looking at those girls and sometimes I think when we talk in terms of girls ministry, like you're saying, it sounds like a position or a program or something super official when at the end of the day, it's just a really strategic way to minister to teenage girls and come alongside of them, invite them into the process and to walk with them as they do it. And so I think if we can break it down into those really simple terms, that's a really good starting point for us.
So let's go even further into that with the strategy piece of it. So if it's ministry to and with teenage girls, what do the building blocks of that look like? Because we've already said it's not just let's do two events a year and throw it over in the corner. John Paul, you gave some examples of the events.
Pottery painting Saturday.
Yeah. So it's not girls ministry is not just pottery painting Saturday.
No.
Though.
Or other kinds of painting.
Yeah.
Nail painting, portrait painting,
car painting. It's not.
I'll take the nail painting for sure. The others, I'm not too sure about.
The car painting, girls ministry car painting would be interesting to me.
Yeah,
it would.
I really enjoy the pottery. Like, there's all those little businesses that have popped up over the last couple of years that are like paint your own pottery.
Pottery.
Paint your own pottery. I took Avery, my 9-year-old, to one of those like paint your own pottery places, and she had a blast. Like, it was a good little.
Did you also have a blast as a result of her having that blast?
Yeah, it was kind of fun. I am like, when I paint stuff like that, I get like super perfectionist on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't handle it because like she was right next to me. And I mean, you know, 9-year-olds,
there's just paint everywhere.
They
just
move around, yeah. And there's paint. So
a lot of wiggling.
I had to let go of the perfectionism very mm-hmm. quickly. Thanks. So if girls' ministry isn't just that.
Yeah.
What are the building blocks? So, yep. Like, say I am somebody who is at a church and we've started kind of thinking about how girls' ministry connects to the overall student ministry and what we need to do there to just set it up.
Yeah.
Like, how can we start? What would you say the building blocks of that are?
I think the building blocks are just, you know, you start with relationships, and that's going to take adult leaders who care about teenage girls and who want to be involved in their lives. You know, it's going to take some women, and, you know, for you as a student pastor, maybe, you know, that could be your wife, but, you know, it doesn't have to be your wife. It could be, you know, another volunteer that you have in your ministry, or it could be an intern or somebody that you bring onto your staff, or just your small group leaders, not just your small group leaders, but that's definitely like a first place to go, because they're obviously already involved in student ministry. They're already a part of what's going on. But, and a lot of times too, I will say this across the board, if they have not come to you yet, like, they probably are thinking about it, because usually there's probably some woman who is serving in her ministry who's saying, this is important to me. I want to be more intentional with what we do for girls, and I'm a female, so maybe I can be the one that does that. And so for those of you who are male student pastors, like, you know, if they haven't already, there's probably somebody who's thought about having a conversation with you. I mean, so it takes, you know, those leaders, but then it develops into discipleship relationships, whether that, you know, broadens out beyond like a Sunday morning and turns into maybe a girls' Bible study that happens on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, or during the summer that it happens in the context of just the middle of the busyness of everything that goes on, that you're having intentional time where girls are getting together. Because if you look at the spectrum and you see what women do, women like to be together and girls are just little women. And so I think when we look at stuff like that, like, girls like to go on trips together. They like to huddle together. And even at my community group, that's all, you know, married couples, the other night, it was all the girls on one side of the room and all the guys on the other side of the room having two totally different conversations. And we see that happen in student ministry all the time too. So, but it's that intentional discipleship that happens when you can kind of get a group of girls together and talk about girls' stuff, that then will also lead to the fun things and the, you know, the points of engagement that are beyond, just when you're at the church building or in a home, but to do some activities that will involve girls from the outside, you know, but also get those girls to be engaged with one another, to be missional, to do some service projects. But it doesn't have to be, and it doesn't need to be a separate thing from your student ministry. It just needs to be a part of the life and the breadth of your student ministry and what you're already doing, where you're already headed. Just how does intentional ministry to girls fall underneath, you know, that big umbrella, I would say. So the components at the heart are the same.
Yeah. I think it's a great point about it doesn't need to be separate.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be its own student ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It should support and assist the direction of the student ministry as a whole.
Yeah.
It's just a moment where you're gathering girls together to be able to address the specific needs and discipleship path that they have. You know, we've said on the podcast before, discipleship isn't a conveyor belt. It's an individualized process,
yep.
Which means that guys and girls have different things that they need to talk about as a part of that discipleship process, and different things that they're going to struggle with.
Yep.
And you need to provide an environment where those things can be freely addressed.
Yeah. And I think too, it's that idea that you will have girls that in a mixed group, they'll say all the things that are on their mind, but maybe they shouldn't. And so it's not necessarily that they're not, you know, oh, well, the girls are sharing, but it's like, is it appropriate? You know, and maybe would it be better suited for a girls only group or things like that, but at least giving them the option to be participating in something like that, I think is huge.
Well, I think that's something that sentiment, like, oh, they're sharing, you know, that's, I'm doing plenty for, especially for the male student pastor.
Yeah.
I think because a lot of times we feel like it has to be this whole other thing that you've got a position for, and there's all this separate programming and mm-hmm. everything. There's a temptation to think like, oh, they're getting enough out of this.
Yeah.
But if you just put yourself in that position, you know, and think, okay, well, what if, you know, what if the shoe's on my foot,
yeah,
and I'm the one that's needing to talk about guy-specific things, mm-hmm, and I'm not in a place to be able to do that. Like, yes, I can participate in conversation in a room full of girls, but I'm never really going to be able to get at the heart of what I need to talk about unless I'm in the right atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we just don't think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I also love that you said it does not have to be, if you are a guy leading student ministry, it does not have to be your wife,
yeah,
doing that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It's big.
And yeah, I think there are a lot of wives out there that are, the right word is not coming to mind, but I think maybe for some it fits. So you're almost shamed into doing the girls' ministry part because,
yeah,
you're expected. You are the spouse, and so you're supposed to engage in these ways.
Yeah.
And that is not always the case.
No.
That's not always that person's gifting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not have any business doing that because that's not the way they've been gifted.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But how would you say, are some of the best ways to kind of open the door for other people to feel freedom to have those conversations if they haven't yet said, I feel God calling me to lead girls, but I just don't know how.
Yeah. You know, I would say first and foremost, you know, just spend some time praying about it, that the Lord would raise somebody up to be that person. And sometimes it may surprise you who that person could be. And that if you kind of just thought to, if you just spend some time thinking to yourself and you go, oh, I could go ask her because I, you know, she loves to be involved. Like, this is a great leader, but maybe the Lord has somebody else set aside that, like, by you just going, Lord, would you give me the wisdom to know how to talk about this and who to talk about it with. And maybe open my eyes to somebody who hasn't ever done this before, like hasn't really stepped into a role like this before, that this could be a yes for them that they wouldn't necessarily seek out on their own, but just that maybe he would bring somebody to mind that, like, is the person that it's the right person, but it's not who you would have just thought of in your own mind. And just see what he does. But then too, it's, you know, open the door just to say, hey, you know, with your small group leaders and things like that, but especially because they're already invested to an extent, just to say, hey, I would love to see what else we could do to minister specifically to the girls. Does anybody have any ideas? And just open it up to see what might come out. And a lot of times, through those simple conversations, you'll see leaders stand up and go, oh yes, I've been thinking about this, or I've been wondering about that, or here's some things I've been dreaming about and would love to do, but they've just never felt like they had an open door. And so sometimes you just have to kick it open and see what happens as a result, and then begin to filter how those things fit into, you know, your student ministry model, your mission and vision for where you're going that falls under the umbrella of what your church is doing. And I, you know, even here at Lifeway for a long time, since we just moved buildings, this isn't still up on my desk, but I had our mission statement up on the wall because I wanted to make sure that when I had some harebrained idea sitting at my desk, that, like, I didn't go, like, run it down the flagpole before I ran it through the filter that was already in place. And so, you know, as you're thinking about student ministry stuff and you're looking at that mission statement or whatever it may be of what your church does, just make, you know, you're the one who has to be the filter first and foremost to make sure that those things fit. And that's a great filter you can put up for the women in your church too, just to say, hey, you know, this is something I'd love to see happen, but how does it fit to where we're going as a student ministry, and make sure that you've got some direction to give to that as well.
So here's another question.
Mm-hmm.
You are student ministry leader and you're thinking, okay, I need to do this. I need to open up this ministry. You have maybe taken that step to say, if any of you are interested, I'd love to have an initial conversation with you and start talking about what this looks like. It's another maybe intimidating factor is actually raising up that leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because so, like, for me, you know, I know I had the problem of, okay, well, I want to raise up some strong women to be able to minister to these girls, but that's just another scenario where I'm doing ministry to women that's not necessarily,
yeah,
where I need to be. So, mm-hmm, how do you get at that piece of raising the leadership?
Yeah. And if you happen to be in a church that has some sort of women's ministry leader, I think that they would be a good person to connect them with. You know, and so that's just, that's an easy way that if that happens to be the situation in your church. But otherwise, I think it is, you know, those are people like that I would love to connect with, honestly, you know, here at Lifeway with what we do. You know, I've got other girls ministers I could connect them with, girls ministry leaders that are, you know, both on staff and volunteers that, like, I think some of the greatest growth that I experienced as a girls ministry leader came from other girls ministry leaders, not necessarily other leadership in my own church. Like, I was trying to do things that fell in line with where my church was headed, but I got ideas and strategies and, you know, just got to brainstorm things with other women who were doing that same thing in other churches. And so I think that's one, you know, one way that, you know, if I can be of help to you that direction, you know, I'll give you, we'll make sure you've got my email address, ways to connect that way too. But have them connect with me and I can help if I know somebody in that area or just somebody that can get on the phone with and ask some questions to. I've got a whole list of women who would love to have a conversation like that with a woman at your church.
John Paul, I want to focus a little bit on something that you mentioned, just like ministering in a women's setting where you don't need to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that while it shouldn't be the main driving reason why you would start this in your student ministry, this being girls ministry, I do think that that is an important reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are just a lot of conversations in a lot of places where male student ministry leaders don't need to find themselves in. There are a lot of situations that can be avoided and a lot of things that that you can take yourself out of. Conversations, places, moments mm-hmm. that you just need to be careful of through a girls' ministry and through something that connects girls and moms and to other female leaders. I mean, and we see biblical evidence of this too, right? Where the teaching of Scripture is the older men pour into the younger and the older women pour into the younger. So I would say too, in this girls' ministry conversation, depending on where you are, like in your context, the temptation is going to be, let's get all the super cool college age young girls to pour into our middle school and high school girls, where you've got to make sure that this is a situation that you utilize the multiple generations in your church to make sure that some of those older women have the opportunity to disciple and pour into those girls.
And a lot of times because of where they are generationally, they have more time, you know, they have more time to give and more ability to spend that free time however they want to. And if they feel invested in something, they're going to do something about it. So, but I think it's definitely think outside the box because it is easy to go to college students. It's, you know, easy to go to women who are on the young end just because, you know, they're active, they're a part, all of that kind of thing. But, you know, one of my favorite small group leaders that I just still adore was in her 60s when she led my small group when I was in seventh grade. And she's somebody I still keep in contact with. And she, as far as I know, she's still going to camp every year, like even now. And so,
awesome.
You know, but you've got to think, I think that's a great point to make, Ben, just that, you know, the multi-generational aspect is going to be something you definitely want to pull into, but it is for your protection as well, you know, to have other women involved and just to have just a good safeguard or somebody that when you've got a girl who needs to talk to somebody about something that you've got at least a handful of women, if, you know, even if it's just one woman to start out with, that can be a person to say, hey, you know, I've got somebody you can have this conversation with, or I've got somebody to connect you with that's present, that's a part of what's going on, and that can immediately sit down and have a hard conversation with a girl, or just one that's just more appropriate female to female. And those are definitely things we need to take into consideration.
I think probably another thing to consider there is that there is a point at which you need some strong women like that that are discipling other women and how to disciple the girls
yes.
in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a whole lot of training that can be done in just your standard student ministry volunteer training setting.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many of those discipleship principles are transferable. You know, it's just discipleship of people, how to do life with people, how to invest in boys and how to invest in girls is different in the kind of conversation that you're having and the places that you're typically going to have the conversation.
Yep.
But what, you know, what brings up that conversation and the foundation of that conversation is very much the same. So there's a lot of training that can be done just in your standard training. And I'm saying this trusting that you're having a rhythm of ongoing training of your student ministry volunteers. And then maybe the way that you kind of specialize some of that is you say, okay, for this training this month, we're going to have all the men sit together at some of these tables and all the ladies sit together at some of these tables. And as we talk about how to pour into students, I want you around your tables to talk specifically how you have each been pouring into your girls and how you have each been pouring into your guys. And I think that can remove some of those roadblocks, and a lot of that just leans into what you said at the very beginning, Mary Margaret, that this isn't a totally separate thing. This needs to flow inside of what you're already doing. This mm-hmm. at the heart of this, it's discipleship.
Yeah.
And I love what you say often. This isn't girls' ministry. It's ministry to girls.
Yep.
And that's important.
Mm-hmm. And I think even for those of you, male student pastors who it's going to be easier for you to disciple guys because you're a guy. And so if you can put somebody in place, or have a team of women in place who can do the same thing for the girls, that's really where all of this begins. And that's where all of it flows out of, is just intentional relationships, intentional conversations, and intentional discipleship that happens best so often in those contexts. Not that it can't happen the other direction, but once, there are great environments and plenty of places where you want guys and girls together and you want them to mix among each other. You want to have, interaction, conversation in a good, healthy spot. But then there's some stuff that just is better dealt with, split gender conversations. And so, when I think about it too, it's like, have you ever been through, anything that teenage girls go through?
No,
either of y'all?
Not a whole lot.
Have you been a teenage girl?
I've never been a teenage girl.
No. So, that's just one really easy way to kind of say, hey, like, I've never been in your shoes, but I know somebody who has. Uh-huh. And, but just to say, hey, I know what it's like to feel that way, to experience that, to have these emotions that you don't know what to do with, or these feelings you don't know what to do with. And other women on the whole can relate to that. Like, they can sit down and look at a girl. And so often we just need to hear that somebody else understands what we're feeling. And just for a woman to be able to look at a teenage girl and go, you know what? Like, I've been there. Like, I've felt that. There's such a sigh of relief that so many girls will just kind of take a deep breath and go, okay, it's not just me. Like, and it's not just this, but you can't look at a teenage girl and say, oh, I've been there. Yes, I have shed those tears, and you may have, but like, it's just not the same. And so it just is a big part of doing holistic ministry is to, what are you doing intentionally to minister to girls specifically through your student ministry? And, it's crucial.
So what we've been super positive.
Yes.
And we like to be positive on the student ministry podcast. This is a positive environment.
Mm-hmm.
So in a positive way, what are some of the pitfalls or some things to like watch out for in ministry to girls? So again, let's frame it up like either I'm new into starting a girls ministry, or let's throw in people who have a somewhat established girls ministry already. What are some things that I need to watch out for that could potentially cause issues or that could cause division or mm-hmm. whatever?
It is really easy. And I was a girls minister for a while in my 20s, and I can think back like to some of the churches that I served and even like see the faces of girls. And one of the easiest things to do is to lean into the popular crowd, because they're showing up, they're easy to like to usually converse with, because they're chatty, they're talkative, they're engaged, all of that. And you kind of forget about the girls that are on the fringe. And so I think that's one thing I had to learn from, is because it is easy to reach out to the girls that show up all the time and that are a part of what's going on, that are engaging, or that just kind of jump in on everything. And to forget about the ones who kind of hang to the side and feel a little bit like a loner, or they're an introvert, or maybe they're more of a tomboy and they feel like they don't fit in with girls' stuff. And I think that that's another thing to talk about too, is this idea that, you can do girls things specific to girls, but it doesn't have to be girly all the time. And so I'm not like, I can have my girly moments. Like, I like sparkly things and all, like, but
painting,
I don't,
your nail, you mentioned earlier.
Yes. Painting your nails. I like my nails are not painted right now, but usually they are. And, but I like, and in my wedding, like, I had a lot of like sparkly gold things, but just a little bit, like, but I don't want like it like throwing up sparkly gold. And I was never the one that was the best at all the creative super girly things because I'm not the most super girly girl on the planet. But there are girls that like, that they're not interested in the super girly stuff, but there's stuff that you can do for girls that's not just super girly all the time. And I feel like I've said super girly about 8 times in the last 30 seconds. So, you know, but like I told a group of guys last week, I said, you know, a group of student pastors, I said, you know, I took my 8th grade girls small group paintballing one time and they didn't hit each other with the paintballs because it would hurt, but they shot them at the trees and at the, you know, at the big things in the middle. That's like, hilarious. I don't know, but like we went paintballing and we had a, like they had a blast and they were wearing so many layers because they were so afraid of getting hit. But we had so much fun doing that together. But that appealed to some girls that would not have come to something that was super girly.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep that in mind because just because it's for girls doesn't mean it has to be pink and it has to be sparkly or it has to like be super happy and high all the time. Like it can just, it's just meeting girls right where they are. And so you've got to know the girls in your ministry, know what their interests are. Maybe it's a group of girls that are really athletic and they want to do something like where you go on a hike or you go on, maybe they want to go on a camping trip or some of them do. And so don't just, I think it's really easy sometimes for us to separate things into these are guy things and these are girl things when sometimes you can kind of find a good place to meet in the middle that everybody would enjoy. But it's really easy to lean into the girly, girly things in girls' ministry. And so I think those are two big pitfalls I think I could see right off the bat are just, you know, leaning into the easy crowd of girls and then leaning into the really girly side of girls ministry.
I think that's a good caution for ministry in general.
Yeah.
You know, it is to be careful that we don't gravitate towards the ones that are easiest to pull towards. And, you know, the guys ministry side of it, John Paul, we could talk for a long time about how not every guy hunts and fishes and shoots things. And to have a really holistic ministry, you need to be thinking about all of the different people in your ministry rather than one segment. So I think that's a rock solid recommendation as you begin to do girls ministry, or if you've been in girls ministry for a while, to just stop and evaluate and see where you are and see when you look at the crowd, what kinds of girls are represented and make sure that you're doing something that will reach them all along the way.
Yep.
I think too, one thing I would say is a lot of times when we think of girls ministry, we think of girls and moms.
Yeah.
I think girls and dads is a important piece of that too.
Absolutely.
And finding a way to connect with girls with their dads.
And even too, for the girls who don't have a dad present, there are men in your church who would step up and stand by a girl's side at a, you know, something like a daddy daughter ball or something at church. Like our church just had one of those a couple weeks ago. And there is a friend of mine who is a single mom and her dad came into town and took her daughter to this, or, you know, who are those men, you know, that love, you know, ministry and feel called to come and stand alongside of the other people in their church. You know, who are those people too, that when you do some daddy-daughter things that the girls who don't have a dad present could tag along with a friend and her dad or things like that too, that you're talking in those sorts of terms as well.
Yeah.
But, and can I ask y'all a question?
Yes.
While we're sitting here, you know, as guys, you know, who have, you know, been student pastors and are involved in student ministry, how, you know, especially for the guys who are listening, because I think it is a lot of times easier to talk girls ministry to women, you know, but how would you challenge, you know, student pastors out there who are saying like, it's just me and my wife and 15 kids, or like, I don't see how this fits. Like, how would you help encourage them to see the importance of girls ministry? Because I can talk about it, but what would you guys say about why it's important and how it changes things in the church?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd answer it a couple ways. And one of them, John Paul, is something that you alluded to earlier. And that's the expectation of your wife, if you're married and considering girls ministry and your student ministry. It's not a healthy expectation to just assume or put the burden on, or like you said earlier, John Paul, shame that spouse into leading girls ministry. It may not be something they're passionate about. It may not. And that doesn't mean they don't support you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that at all. And I think a lot of times people, because we see it, and you know, we mention this a lot, we see this come up in the conference that we do here. It's almost expected, assumed, and not even asked about. And it's like, if you support me, then you're the assumption is you're going to do this, and that's just, it's unhealthy, and it's not the case at all. So that's one thing that I would say. Another yeah. one is I would point back to the conveyor belt discipleship kind of thing. If you truly want to see disciples made in your ministry, then you need to be looking for many different ways to mm-hmm. disciple the different people that exist in your ministry, guys, girls, and then breaking down even further than that and asking the question of, like, within those groups, how do we need to reach pockets of girls that we haven't reached yet, pockets yeah. of guys that we haven't that we haven't reached yet? And then the last thing I would say as a reason to do this, and as an importance, do it for your security and safety as a male youth pastor, yeah. but don't completely farm it out and forget about it either. Mm-hmm. Like, you still need to be connected to this because it's a part of your ministry.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be its own thing. It doesn't need to be off here in a silo by itself. It needs to be following your vision and mission for the student ministry in general, and ultimately the church.
Yeah. And I would jump onto what you're saying too, just to say one thing, and that's, there are so many girls that need to hear good godly men talk about the gospel and talk that's about right. their families. And so your role as a student pastor and giving oversight and leading and direction, like, this is not at all a conversation to say, like, you know, pull the girls out of student ministry and let them be by themselves. It's to say, as a part, you know, as we go, because they need to hear from you and they want to hear from you. And the impact that you're making as a student pastor is massive. And there are girls who don't have good, healthy male role models in their lives that need to hear from somebody who gets it and understands it and is preaching and teaching the gospel. And so I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, Ben, I love what you said about really putting effort into trying to reach specific people, specific groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think making sure that you, so if you are a guy leading student ministry, making sure that you have put thought into how to reach the girls. And if you're a woman leading student ministry, making sure that you've put thought into how to lead the guys
yeah.
is just a first step in really caring. Who are the people in my ministry? What's going on in their life? What makes them excited about their day-to-day life? What hobbies are they interested in? What are their talents? What are their spiritual gifts? You know, and that's just part of understanding who your people are. Who are the sheep that God has called you to shepherd? And if you're not doing that, and you're just thinking about, oh, these are just all the students that are here, and yeah. I just have this bulk of humanity that I'm going to try to preach the gospel to somehow, you're not going to be near as effective mm-hmm. as you could be as if you said, okay, these people are going to hear this message through this filter. And so I'm going to present it to them this way, maybe through this person or through this experience or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I think about David when he's rebuked by Nathan. He used an illustration of a man having a lamb taken away from him that he had, you know, raised up since it was little, you know, and it ate food from his table and he loved that animal. He used an illustration that would have been very close to David's heart because yeah. he knew David was a mm-hmm. shepherd.
Yeah.
And that's the difference,
yeah.
you know, is knowing that person and speaking to their heart and to their experience. And I think that's why that's important.
That's good.
So that is a perfect place to wrap this episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. But before we go, Mary Margaret, you mentioned people that want to get information about girls' ministry or how to start or want further conversation. Where can they reach you? So contact information incoming right now.
Yes. On social media, it's Mary Margaret C. And my email address at Lifeway is still really long because they haven't officially changed my last name yet. But it is mary.margaret.collingsworth@lifeway.com.
Two dots.
Yes, it's a lot wow. of dots and it's a lot of letters. So I'm ready for it to shrink down. But also, if you will just holler at me on social media, I will connect with you. Make sure you have my email address and all that kind of good stuff. But just anything girls ministry related, I'd love to chat and love to connect.
Great. And she really means that, by the way.
I do.
Like, it's not just thrown out there. Like, she really does want to connect and is great at helping and serving you. student ministry leaders in the church. So this has been another episode, as I mentioned, and as you know, because you clicked on the title when you started listening, of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We'll see you next time.